idea why yet. But it was a shock. No one expected it. Not too long ago, Emily lost her dad as well. And so we want to pray for Emily, for the grandkids, Emily's kids, just God's peace and comfort in this time of shocking loss. So would you stand with me again? Father, in the midst of the shock, the trauma, the bad news of Emily's mom passing, nevertheless, we rejoice that she now stands in your presence, worshiping her Redeemer God, worshiping the love of her life, the lover of her soul. We thank you. We thank you. But Father, she leaves behind a hole that is going to take a long time to heal, and there'll be aspects of it that will never fully heal. But now, in the midst of the hurt, I pray your grace and your mercy be upon her, upon the family, upon the kids. Hold them fast, Father. As they weep over their loss, let them weep on your shoulder. Bless them. Embrace them. Hold them fast, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. We were together this past Wednesday for our first worship night in 18 months. We have met historically and are now planning on continuing every first Wednesday of the month just to worship. No other agenda, nothing else. We just worship. And God comes. And there was a sweet, sweet sense of his presence on Wednesday night. We sort of snuck the meeting in between, you know, innings of the flood. It was wild. But in the midst of worship, God kind of leaned on me and gave me a bit of a download. I don't know if I can call it that, because it's stuff that I knew, but he brought back to the surface. Something that even though I knew it, I hadn't preached on it before. And so I shared a little bit that night. Worship Wednesdays aren't about preaching, but I felt, okay, well, God just put this on my heart. I'm going to share a little bit. And in doing so, then said, man, this will preach. I'm going to have to preach this sometime. And so sometime is today. I just felt it was time to let it fly. You need to work with me today. I'm about to preach a sermon that is not easy. If you work with me, you will be stretched and you will leave this place with a bigger God than the one you came in with. You see, the more we know God, not just know about him, but the more we know him, the more our faith grows. And we've been talking about faith for a while. As we get to know God, he gets bigger. And as God gets bigger, it's easier for us to trust him. Any study of God, any true understanding of God, must include the study of his attributes. Now, God has both communicable and incommunicable attributes. I told you, you have to work with me here. Communicable attributes are those things that humans can also possess, but only to a very finite extent. For example, God is love. Love is a communicable attribute of God. Jesus said in John 13:34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. A communicable attribute. Another is holiness. In 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, we read there, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. A communicable attribute. Now there is bad news and good news with this attribute of holiness. The bad news is it is not God's purpose to make us happy. It is his purpose to make us holy, to make us like Jesus. And he is relentless. Now, the incommunicable attributes of God are those attributes that are unique to him and that humans cannot share. Let's go over those attributes. We'll do five today. First, his immutability, meaning God is changeless. I don't know of anybody who is changeless. This belongs to God alone. God says in Malachi 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. There it is. However, God's immutability means more than just unchangeableness. His immutability means that he is absolutely faithful to himself and to his purposes. It also means that God's love and his grace are unfailing, and his holiness and righteousness are unamendable. God will not allow himself to be edited. However, though God is immutable, he allows himself to be moved by our prayers. We heard Dave's testimony this morning. And he's also hurt by our disobedience. Secondly, there is the omnipotence of God. God is all powerful. He is almighty. He is the sovereign of the universe. Jeremiah 32, 17, the prophet exclaims, Ah, sovereign Lord, you've made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Our God is able to do all things. There is no power on earth, in hell, or in heaven that is mightier than our God. There is no king, no ruler, no president, no one more powerful than our God. And his purposes will be fulfilled. The third is omniscience. God knows all things, past, present, and future. In Isaiah 46:10, the Lord speaking through the prophet says, I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. God knows it all. Now that may either be a comfort or a discomfort, depending on where we are and what we're doing at any given time. But God knows. He knows it all. And he still loves us. He still loves us. Psalm 139. O Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. Uh-oh. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. He knows. He knows what's around the next corner. He knows what's down the road. He knows. He's never taken by surprise. You will never find God standing up and pacing in heaven. He knows. And he loves us. That's the thing that I keep coming back to. It amazes me. He knows and he loves us. Fourthly, his omnipresence. This means that God is everywhere always. He is everywhere always. In Psalm 139:7, David asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is nowhere. And that's a comfort. We have a God who is always close by. Even when, because of whatever we're going through, we lose track of him, doesn't mean he's not there. He is nearby. And lastly, and this is what I want to spend the rest of our time together on, there is God's immensity. His immensity. This speaks of God as being infinite in relation to space and time. He has absolutely no boundaries. He cannot be contained by any space. God is spirit and is present, completely whole, everywhere, at every point. Solomon, at the dedication of the temple he built for the Lord, in his prayer, he included this, 1 Kings 8:27. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? We typically think of heaven as the place where God resides, and that is certainly true. However, Solomon says that even heaven, the highest heaven, cannot contain God. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, again a rhetorical question. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? God is immense. Now, immensity and omnipresence are nearly synonymous. Nearly, almost. The difference is that we refer to God's immensity in relationship to all things. He is above space and fills every part of it. God is omnipresent because he is immense. There's no place where he's not. There never can be. His omnipresence has to do with his immensity in specific relationship to his creatures. Romans 8, 38 and 39, I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no height, there's no depth, there's no width, there's no measurement that God is not bigger than and doesn't encompass in his totality. He's immense. And in his immensity, he loves us. He loves us immensely. And he loves us, therefore, with an everlasting love that knows no boundaries. Out of his immensity, he took on flesh. And the God who is everywhere, always, and fills all things with the totality of his being, came in God the Son, allowed himself to be carried in a womb, was birthed into the earth he made, laid in a cradle in a stable, walked on a planet that was the work of his own hands and spoken into being with the words of his mouth, and then went to a cross for me and you. That is an immense love exhibited by an immense God. Now, as I said, God is spirit. He is present and completely whole everywhere and at every point. We have a God who is bigger than our finite minds can ever comprehend without exploding. And he loves us. And he loves us with a love that is beyond the edges of all that there is. What an immensely wonderful truth. Amen. Let's stand and bless the Lord. Just another neat song. That's life. And every one of us lives right there. as I was prepping for this message. I knew it, but I wanted to know it more. I thought I understood the immensity of God, but I really wanted to wrap my head around it. I wanted to get a grip on it. And God showed up. He didn't mock me, but I suddenly understood how foolish I was trying to be. That unless I was striving for a colossal headache of eternal, everlasting proportions, I would come to my senses and recognize that my little, pea brain, finite mind cannot comprehend the fullness of the infinite. God is immense. Immense. However big we can comprehend is insufficient completely. And in His immensity, He loves us. In His immensity, He gives us grace. In His immensity, He shows us mercy. In His immensity, He exhibits patience. Mind-blowing. And infinitely comforting. We have an immense God. Wherever you are, whatever you're going through, whatever you will go through, and you will, He already knows. He's stronger than that thing or that circumstance, and He encompasses all of it. It's a truth that will carry us, that will hold us, that gives us solid ground to stand on. Our God is immense. And so, Father, would You flood us? Certainly with revelation, but God, more with the immensity of Your love. Let it be palpable. Put the taste in our mouth and the smell in our nostrils. Put the song in our ears and heart. You are immense, and You immensely love us. I thank You for that, Father. And I bless these Your people in the name of Jesus. And pray, O God, that they would know better. That they would know better when it seems they're suddenly on their own. That they've been left to themselves. That they would know better than to question Your love and Your faithfulness to them. Bless them with a surety birthed in the revelation of Your immensity. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the walls holding back the sea. Should I ever need remind of how I've been set free? There is a cross that bears the burden. Another died for me. There is another in the fire. I can see the light.
Are you going to do this?
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
Yeah, you.